Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com, a broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome to Light of the East. I am Father Thomas Loya, your host. In the Eastern Christian churches, both Catholic and Orthodox, there are indigenous and ancient chants that are used in each of these churches. In other words, each church has their own chant, their own kind of music. And for the most part, this music is sung only by the human voice. Because it is an ancient chant in all these churches and an indigenous one, in other words, each Eastern church has their own chant. Because of that, somebody has to lead that chant. The people have to know the chant because the Eastern churches, their liturgies, are really dependent upon participation. That's right. They rise and fall, really, on the people, on the participation of the people, their responses. And so if the people don't know the chant that well, or some of them may be a little more challenging, they have to be led. And the Eastern churches, they're led by a person who holds another very venerable tradition in the Eastern churches, and that is the cantor. Now, before I go any further, I do want to say hello to a few people and thank them for their kind letters. We love hearing from everybody here on Light of the East. And if you want to email us, you can email us at taberlife@earthlink.net, taberlife@earthlink.net. We're talking about cantors in our music today. And speaking of that, I have a letter from a listener, and she is from one of our parishes that we consider to be our sister parish here at Annunciation. My parish here is Annunciation Byzantine Catholic in Homer Glen, Illinois. That's the home of Light of the East. But we have a parish that we identify with in Brampton, Ontario. And Alexandra Martin from there writes to us, "As a Byzantine Catholic and parishioner at St. Elias, the Prophet Ukrainian Catholic Church in Brampton, Ontario, I was hugely appreciative of your program today dealing with the sacrament of confession in the Eastern Rite. It was informative and it beautifully illustrated the significance of repentance and the importance of the words, Lord, have mercy. I've heard this message before at liturgy, but was so happy to hear it again and know it is being shared with the Roman Catholic Church." And by that, of course, she means through our program here, Light of the East, which expresses and communicates the riches of both lungs of the church, East and West, but in particular, the Eastern lung of the church. So we want to thank Alexandra Martin from our sister church in Brampton, Ontario, for her kind letter. But she also ends it by requesting a little more coverage on our program here, Light of the East, a little more coverage of our beautiful Byzantine liturgical music. And so we're going to do that today at the request of one of our listeners. So thank you, Alexandra, for your kind letter. And above all, thanks for listening. We also want to thank Betty Dyer, and she is from Sacramento, California. She says, "I enjoy your radio program. It is very informative." She says, "My voice is calming and your kindness is evident. Thank you." Oh, well, thank you, Betty. That's very kind. I'm very humbled by that. And she said, "P.S., please pray for me and my son." which I will. So again, thank you, Betty, from Sacramento, for writing to us your kind remembrance and prayerful kindness. Also, we have Patricia Wagner from Utica, Illinois. And Patricia writes to us, and she thanks us for our program, Light of the East. And also, she mentioned hearing me give talks before on the theology of the body, which we mentioned from time to time here on Light of the East. That is something that I speak a lot about, and I apply to many of the issues of Catholic teaching, marriage, family, moral issues, and so on. And I do so out of the Tabor Life Institute. To have me speak on any of those issues, or even on the Eastern Churches, you can contact us at taborlife@earthlink.net, taborlife@earthlink.net. So I want to thank you, Patricia Wagner from Utica, Illinois, for your kind letter to us. And thanks for reminding me that you had heard me before on different subjects, such as the theology of the body. So hearing from you is something we really enjoy here at Light of the East. And hearing is a very big part of the liturgy in the Eastern Churches. So sound, music, chant is very significant. And truly, as I said before, the exuberance, the quality really of Eastern liturgy. Now, it's not entirely dependent upon people, of course, because it's the Holy Spirit that is the operant factor at liturgy. But the overall experience of liturgy in the Eastern churches is very dependent upon the singing of the people. It's very, very participatory. And the people are guided in the Eastern churches by, as I mentioned, a venerable position, a venerable person in the church and in the parish, and that is the cantor, the place of the cantor. Churches also in the East use choirs as well, or small ensembles, or maybe several cantors together. But the cantor leads the people in their respective chants, in their indigenous chants. Now, the cantor does not dominate. It isn't solo. Now, sometimes there are chants which are very, very special, especially in my own church, the Byzantine Church. There are chants that are very special, done on special occasions, the highest feast days. And there are certain chants that are a little more elaborate, so most people wouldn't know them. So the cantor, well, he sings them and leads them. Sometimes he does it almost as a solo for practical purposes. But the music is supplied for the people, but sometimes it's a little bit difficult. So the cantor actually has its roots in an ordained office in the church, and that is the office of lector. Technically, a cantor is supposed to be a lector. The lector is someone who is ordained traditionally by the bishop, and it was generally a male. And oftentimes, that level, the lectorate, was a level in which was kind of like a stepping stone towards the priesthood. You would be ordained a lector, then a subdeacon, then a deacon, then a priest. But not necessarily. The lector, that ordination, can stand on its own. Actually, all the ordinations can stand on their own. You could be a subdeacon and just remain a subdeacon. Subdeacon is basically that's where the altar server, the altar boy came from. It was actually an ordained office for mature men who worked around the altar, where the sacristans and the servers at the altar. Then there's, of course, the diaconate and also priesthood. So these can all lead to the priesthood, or they can be just positions within themselves. A person can just remain as a subdeacon, a lector, or deacon. In the case of a lector, that is the basis from which we get the modern-day cantor in the Eastern churches. And the lector was one who was qualified to, in the way that's worded is this way in the church, qualified to lead the divine praises. In other words, a cantor would be the person who would be knowledgeable about all of the divine office. And in Eastern churches, the divine office is designed to be prayed liturgically. In other words, in a church and publicly. You can pray it privately too, but it's designed to be prayed liturgically, which means there's going to be chant, constant singing. The Eastern churches like to sing unceasingly. So the cantor, the lector, has to be trained and learned. He has to understand these services, how they work, how they're put together, how they flow. He has to understand the chant. He has to understand the theology. And in fact, the lector, and later on the cantor, was oftentimes in Eastern churches the person that was, I'll put it this way, second in command to the priest in the parish, because he was generally the most educated, other than the priest, especially educated about the liturgy and the chant of the church. And all that goes together, because in the Eastern churches, the chant is the theology. The theology is the chant. So the cantor would have been, by today's standards, a combination of a singer, you know, cantor, reader, and director of religious education. I'm kind of translating into modern-day terms, but that's how qualified the cantor was traditionally in Eastern churches. Sometimes cantors are ordained today still, but sometimes not. But the cantor, as we know it in the Eastern churches, grew out of the office of lector, which was an ordained office, or in other words, the reader. You had to be qualified to read as well, to read the scripture, which means you had to know the scripture, have studied it, have proper reverence for it in the way that you sang it and chanted it. And in fact, there's actually a way to chant the scriptures in the Byzantine tradition, my own tradition, the way to chant it in all the Eastern traditions. And it's important that the chant and the meaning of the words are woven together so that the Word of God is communicated properly, adequately by the cantor. So the whole point of chanting is not only to embellish the words, because these are precious words, they're the words of God, it's also a vehicle by which the words are communicated. Well, think about it. If you're standing in a church, especially some of the old, big, ancient churches, there's no sound system. You have to project and make that reading heard. So whenever you project and you speak fully with full voice, what usually happens? Usually your words, the syllables and so on, are extended. You know, just think about that. Whenever we yell, when we raise our voice, we generally extend the words. So the words had to be extended in order to be heard. So the cantor would extend those words by means of a chant. But the chant has to be done in such a way that the words at the same time are distinct. In other words, the cantor can develop a style where they emphasize the correct words, specific words in a sentence. Try this sometime. Take a scripture passage and look at a few sentences. Pick out the two or three words in that sentence that really give you the meaning of that sentence. If you just look at those words, would you have the basic meaning of that sentence? And most of the time, the answer would be yes. So that's what a cantor has to look for. He has to look at those specific words and emphasize them a bit in the way he uses the tone of the chant. One of the many techniques that cantors have to know and master in the Eastern churches. In addition to knowing the chant, the liturgical chant of the church, the cantors also have to know what were the spiritual songs, the hymns of a church. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the venerable tradition of the cantor in the Eastern Christian churches. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion and to tell the story of the Eastern lung of the Catholic Church. We need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. And then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright. You are listening to the Choirs of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church under the direction of Timothy Woods in Homer Glen, Illinois. This is the music you hear on Light of the East and is sung during the sacred liturgy at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish. Order online at ByzantineCatholic.com. All we ask is a donation of $20 or more, which includes shipping and handling, to Annunciation Parish for each Theosis CD. Send a check made out to Annunciation Parish at 14610 Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. And may God grant you.
I'm Ann Weber from the Catholic Spirit Radio Network, and you're listening to Light of the East.
Father Loya invites you to see the new Tabor Life website. That's taborlife.org. When you land on the homepage, you can see how Tabor Life can help improve your marriage, your life, and how to see the beauty of God's created order in your personal life. On taborlife.org, you can book Father Loya to speak to your organization about the key elements of leadership, relationships, and sexuality, as well as speak on cultural, social, and political issues. As a renowned artist, Father Loya can speak about how art, liturgy, and prayer fit together. On taborlife.org, you can see the many ways of how you can communicate with us. And as you look to the lower right-hand corner of the page, click on the messenger icon for live chat. And finally, Tabor Life Institute is a 501(c) charitable organization that earnestly needs your support. Click on the support link at the top of the page and donate. After all, Tabor Life is powered by you.
Welcome back to Light of the East. I'm Father Thomas Loyal, your host. We're looking at the venerable place of the cantors in the Eastern churches. They lead the chant, not to dominate, not to be soloists, though sometimes they do have to sing or chant something by themselves because it's very complex and very special. Chants that aren't used that often throughout the year, only on special occasions. But as they lead the people, their main purpose is to help the people to lead the chant themselves. In other words, to participate. The cantor is there as a support, a leader and a support. He's not there as a featured singer. And in order to be a cantor, as I mentioned, there has to be certain qualifications, which used to be the qualifications or requirements to be ordained as a cantor. Now, nowadays, it's oftentimes very difficult to find cantors or people that want to step up and assume that responsibility because it's a very weighty position. You have to be prepared, you have to be consistent, you have to be reliable, you have to learn, you have to have musical ability, you have to know the theology, you have to know the services and the music, and a little bit how to actually do the chant, especially when it comes to, as I mentioned before, the readings. In addition to the actual chant of the services, many cantors in Eastern churches, certainly in my church, have to also know popular hymns, spiritual songs that developed basically over time in the different churches, and they tend to develop in a local manner. Eventually, they were codified, they put into hymn books, and those hymn books have been passed down to us to this day. Now, these hymn books were starting to be put together as far back as, a couple centuries ago. The most noted one for my particular church was put out actually in the early part of the 1900s, and what they did prior to that was they would actually pass these hymns down largely by ear. And they began to collect them because they didn't want them to be lost and they wanted others to learn them so they were sung consistently because they would vary from parish to parish, from region to region. So eventually they tried to collect them and they have been passed down to us, although many have been lost. Here's an example of one of these hymns, the spiritual songs from my church, from the Carpatho-Ruthenian chant. And this hymn is called Bohorodica Divo in the Slavonic, which means Mother of God. It is basically the Ave Maria. It's the Slavic form of the Ave Maria, or at least the form in my particular church. And here is an example sung by the choir of Annunciation Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois, the spiritual song to the Mother of God.
Thank you.
As you can hear in the spiritual songs of, certainly of my church, which this last one was an example, you can hear a certain heartfelt dimension. These songs, these spiritual songs, developed out of the love and the fervor of the people in villages, and they would develop these songs largely for times when they were not in church. In church, they knew they had a codified ancient chant, but they wanted more, especially when, for instance, they would go on pilgrimages or make retreats or just be working in the fields or walking to church or whatever. They would sing songs, holy songs, spiritual songs. And so you can actually hear in a lot of these spiritual songs the heart, you know, the humility, the sincerity, almost like kind of a sweetness. They kind of move you at the heart. In contrast, the chant of the church, the liturgical chant used in the actual liturgies, yes, it can move you from the heart, but it also moves you very deep in the soul, because it oftentimes has that character of a very, very, well, I guess I would just call it a very spiritual sound. Listen to this chant, and again, these are the chants that our cantors have to know, some a little more complex than the spiritual songs. These chants are led by the cantors of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, and they are from the service of St. Andrew of Crete. Hopefully you can get some idea from this chant of St. Andrew of Crete how certain melodies can be very, very spiritual, very haunting in their beauty and their solemnity, but oftentimes very difficult. And that's why the cantor has to be very qualified. I want to send out a special thank you as a priest, as a pastor, to the cantors of my particular parish and Annunciation, and to all of you who are cantors or seeking or trying to be, to aspire to that lofty and venerable position. And let's pray for all of our cantors as we thank them for their fine service to our Eastern churches. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Features and Programs tab and on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, you know, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, hey, you know, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, you know, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, you know, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled WILL-COOK Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.